Hey, what's up? It's Black and Jew Podcast, episode 24.
Episode 24. I'm excited.
Yep.
We're almost at a quarter of a century.
Yes, we are.
We're at that age where we're still pretty insecure, but getting there to the point where, where, you know, we're really starting to feel comfortable with ourselves.
We probably met someone.
And stop caring about, hopefully met someone, probably not though.
Yeah.
You know?
And, you know, we're like just kind of getting to the swing of whatever it is we're doing or studying in our life. And, we're kind of getting comfortable.
We're feeling around.
Yeah, we're feeling
around. We haven't figured it out yet, but we're starting to realize the importance of stability.
And you know, your mom keeps on calling you constantly, wondering what you're doing and if it's really worth it. And, like, what exactly does your degree do? And you explain to her, but she doesn't get it because, you know, she's 50.
I feel like that's a personal problem that you have to work out, Reggie. I don't know if that's how universal that is.
Maybe.
Not really, though. I'm sure that that's some of the problem that everybody has.
I pulled up, you know, I was driving to your house and like I told you last week that my parking spot was overtaken by your neighbor's stupid Home Depot, you know,
reflector poles. Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, that person does not want me to park there. So I don't park there.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll park there when I feel good and ready. But for the time being, all I do is I take one reflector pole and I put it sideways as like a form of like, you know, non-violent resistance, you know?
Non-violent protest?
Yeah. I just put it sideways. I might increase it to all three of them and then, you know.
Do you really do that?
Yes, I do.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I do that. I just did it.
I hope this doesn't start a feud with my neighbors if they see my podcasting partner fucking with their reflectors.
Good point.
So, but, wait, how do you... So, these long, like, plastic poles, the reflector on top.
Yeah.
And how do you put it sideways? What do you mean?
I put it, like, diagonal instead of straight up. So, like, you know...
It's subtle, though.
Yeah.
That is really a weird passive-aggressive form of protest, I gotta say.
Yes, it is. And they put it straight up. I know it because I checked. So, that person looks at it and... You know, probably doesn't know it's me. Probably does know it's me, but they put it right back up.
Please stop doing that.
All right, I'll stop doing that.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I've only done it twice.
Oh, okay, that's good. So it's not a trend yet.
It's not a...
So now they think it's the wind still. All right, that's good. They still think it's the wind. So what's going on with you, Reggie? Anything new in your life?
What's new in my life? Let's see. We just had a really good show. That's probably one of the coolest
Talked about it since
we promoted it in the last one.
Yeah.
And we finally did it and what a great show
that was. Probably the best show I've ever done.
No, yeah, that's the way I feel too. That was the best show I've ever done. Like solid lineup, solid crowd, solid venue.
The crowd was amazing.
Oh my gosh, so responsive, so into it too.
Yeah.
Like I think that's one of those like it was a real comedy nerd crowd, I think, or like at least a crowd that was receptive to like
I don't know what it was
art
about
being done on stage.
I think it's also we're at that stage where a lot of the shows we do, people are not there to see comedy. So those people are specifically there. They paid money.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, they paid money and they're making a conscious effort to get their money's worth out of it.
Exactly.
You know? I think that's why I heard sometimes people talk about comedy clubs being horrible. I feel like maybe people that get tickets for free, you know, they might not be a little less inclined. So if you have like a comedy room full of people that paid for it, they're actually like there to see it. They're excited about it. That was the best. Like if every room was like that, I would be so happy. And if anyone is listening to the podcast because of that show, thank you for being an awesome part of the crowd.
Oh yeah. No, most definitely.
Yeah,
like
hopefully
we had good sets. Like I don't want to like boast
anything. No, no, no. It was great.
Everyone in the lineup had a good set.
Oh yeah, dude. And JC Carias, the headliner.
Holy
God
shit.
God damn. He killed it.
He murdered it.
I talked him up a lot, you know, because I was hosting for any Black and Jew people that were not there.
Let's get you some more of the Black and
like,
Jewers.
There's like one that wasn't there, I think. But I was hosting and I talked up JC a lot because I knew that it would not be like, oh, he's not as good as the host says, like because he was
he
has that like his specific style of comedy is. I always try to restrain myself from comparing myself to him.
Oh yeah,
just because like his style is he has that like really very hard refined. Rolling laughter, mm-hmm. you know, which for me, like my setups are really long, you know, mm-hmm. and like, it's just, it's a totally different situation. And like, you know, his whole physicality, cause he's very large, he has a big yeah. beard, like imagining him in the certain situations he's in, that if it happened to you or me, it would not be nearly mm-hmm. as funny.
I like to, you know, that, comedian Gabriel Iglesias.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a much better version of him. Like the way they emote, like
a much better version,
like the way yeah. they, you know, emote and the way yeah, they yeah. move and the way they go about like their comedy. He, JC Curias is like totally like wrecks it, bro. Like, and yeah. I really like watching him, and I just like, that's like, man, I gotta get better than this guy to even like, you know,
You hate how much shittier you are.
Yeah, you hate how much shittier you
seeing,
are.
Seeing someone like JC, you really remember how bad you are at comedy mm-hmm. and how long of a way it's you humbling. Have to go. Yeah, it's incredibly humbling because he's just like just so on top
nice
of it.
Nice dude,
man.
Too. Nice, huh? Nice dude.
Oh, a super nice guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's an incredibly nice guy. But yeah, that show was amazing, dude. Just announcing the name of our podcast got a great laugh.
Yeah.
Like announce, just saying the name of our podcast got more of a laugh than I get on some of my like closers in certain rooms, you know? I was yeah. just like, yeah, we have podcasts, because when I was introducing you, I was like, well, we have podcasts together called the Black and Jew Podcast. And everyone's like, that's hilarious. I'm like, yes, I love you guys so much.
Yeah. Oh, such a good crowd, such a good yeah. venue. And I'm glad like it went well too, because yeah. it going well is very important for other shows at that place.
Yeah,
know,
exactly.
Grams.
And the owner was there, Adam, yeah. and he seemed to love it. Yeah, and Billy Corbin was there too. He was digging it.
Nice. That's fantastic. Yeah, so yeah. like that was probably the highlight of last week, because, you know, I did a solid like seven. It was yeah. six, seven.
Seven. You did seven.
Seven. And
I was timing it. So yeah, definitely yeah. seven.
And you know what? That was that, like, that's what I needed to like shoot like that adrenaline in me. Yeah. And then we also did Dada's and American Rock Bar.
Yeah.
And Dada was a great, like, we yeah. did a great show.
My set at Rock Bar was not good.
No, my set at Rock Bar was also not good.
Yeah, it's weird when you do it in front of a bunch of comics, and I feel like the environment there yeah. is kind of,
it's all dark.
Yeah, it's very dark.
It's dark. There's columns. No comedy club or no comedy venue should have columns.
Yeah.
That is, no place should have columns.
I feel like there's maybe some architects that might argue with you about that. But no, I see. It's true. It's yeah. I like doing the room, you know, and I think Franco's a good host. But
oh, yeah,
sometimes
no,
it's difficult. It's difficult, especially when you just have comics in mm-hmm. the audience. But it's great. I like doing rooms like that, because it teaches you one of the most important things is to be comfortable with uncomfortable silence.
Yes.
You know, like you need to do those. And then you go to Dada's, and Dada's is like a totally different animal. I think Dada's trains you to do crowd work and have to, because you have to like connect with the audience there. Mm-hmm. You can't just
say
your material, because then people are not going to pay. Like, there was that couple on a date there,
yeah,
you know, and like I was talking to them the whole time, and the time before that I was there, and there was a guy getting divorced. Ooh. Did I talk about that on the podcast?
There was a guy getting divorced at Dada's.
No, not divorced at Dada's. That's how divorces happen. They're like proposals. It's like, sweetie, will you make me the happiest man in the world? I want to get divorced. No, I was doing a show there, and I was doing my cancer stuff, right?
Oh, and you're talking about the guy, the chef that was
yeah,
really
he was
drunk.
Like a line cook
no,
or something.
Yeah,
yeah,
no,
and
remember.
He was shit faced, and I go up, and I'm like, hey, how you guys doing? And everyone, like, you know, it's like whatever we say, and he's like, oh, how are we doing? How are we doing? Why you ask that? You know how we're fucking doing. I'm like, it seems like you are not doing okay, sir. It seems like you have a lot of mental problems to sort out. He's like, yeah, well, I'm just getting a fucking divorce. Like, it's not his fault. Like his horrific demeanor and approach to everything isn't causing that. And I go to him, I'm like, oh, I'm a cancer survivor. He's like, oh, yeah, good, good. Yeah, it's not like three people in my family died from cancer or anything. And I'm like, I'm sorry. And he's like, you're not sorry. I'm like, yes, I am, because I'm not a horrible person like you. And like, we just kept going back and forth. And he's like, my mom died of cancer. And I'm like, really? He's like, no, I'm just kidding. I'm like, that's a real bummer. Like,
now I know why you're divorced.
Yeah, it's like very obvious. I want to go and shake this woman's hand and be like, you made a good decision divorcing this guy.
You're good.
Because he's a
you're
horrible.
Strong. He sucks, you know?
And he crouched behind me while I was doing my set, and Mike Citron like grabbed him and like escorted him off.
Yeah. That's funny. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
And you know, if you've ever seen Mike Cintron, you know,
he's quite short.
Yeah.
He's quite a small man.
Real cool dude though.
Oh, cool. I love Mike. Yeah. I like how you say it like most short people suck, but Mike Cintron.
But Mike Cintron.
He's a good one.
When when the revolution starts and we use him for like presents and stuff,
Presents?
Yeah, because he's short. For elves, come on.
Oh, I don't know what that has to do with the revolution, though. That's the thing.
Short people versus tall people revolution.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember about that. I learned about the inevitable coming of that on 9/11conspiracy.com.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Those metal bars shouldn't have melted like they did.
No, they shouldn't have. I mean, it's just like really hot jet fuel.
Exactly.
Know? Yeah.
That doesn't melt metal like that.
Yeah. Everyone knows that. Those structural analysis that have been doing this their entire life can't really know what they're talking about, you know?
Nope, they can't.
It's got to be a conspiracy. Millions of eyewitnesses can be wrong.
So,
this isn't our truth or podcast. This is
open your third eye, people. Open your third eye, Black and Jew listeners, all right? Because the truth's out there.
I did another great show last night, actually.
That was at Vino's.
At Vino's, yes. I actually, for the first time, I think maybe ever, I posted on Facebook about a show, and it actually got someone to come out to the show.
Really?
Because I showed up, and my aunt was sitting there at the table. She surprised me. I was very happy.
Your aunt is the most supportive.
She's so supportive.
If
my family's very supportive.
You've told me that before, but like your aunt is bam, right?
Yeah,
there.
She goes to Elwood. She goes to a lot of shows, you know?
She went to Gramps, you know? Just.
Yeah, and every time she goes, every girl is like, oh, it's so cute. Your aunt comes. Like, I remember I was sitting there it was me, Gatto, Jessica Gross, and Irene, and they were just all talking about how adorable it was that my aunt would come to shows. I'm like, yeah, I guess it is pretty cute.
It's adorable.
She's very supportive, you know? She's a... It's a good thing she's not my mom, because then I would be really full of myself. You know? She will tell me when I have a bad set or a bad bit.
That's good.
I'm really happy that my family members are incredibly honest with me about that.
That's
like I think the biggest critic I have is my mom. Not in a bad way, though. Not like she's like critical for no reason, but like she will judge a joke the harshest. And that's a good thing, I think. You know?
Oh, that's good. That's good to have a soundboard like that to like, you know, for it to jump off of, like, you know, to critique you. Like someone that personal, that close to you telling you, no, that sucks.
Yeah.
You're going to really take it. You know, like it's not like a stranger can tell you it sucks, but like someone that likes you tells you it sucks. All right.
And then you respect their opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's, man, good to have that support. I'm glad like I have a good like foundation for support for comedy. Yeah. Like mostly from my friends and like my family too, and they really do support it.
That's good.
And that is like, I would have quit this probably earlier if it was just me, you know, pushing myself.
Yeah.
To have people tell you like, yeah, you can do it, or you know, keep on doing it. You don't know yet. That's very valuable, and like that.
Yeah.
Thank goodness for that.
There's some people I see that I'm like, whoever told you should do this was very wrong, because that was 5 minutes of uncomfortable silence. Certain people, it's like, hey man, like that 10-minute rant about Barack Obama probably isn't a good comedy bit.
Ooh.
Everyone's just do you understand, do you not perceive the palpable fear in the audience right now? Because remember, as a comedian, palpable fear is not what you're going for. I saw one guy, Jesus Christ, it was so bad. Like I saw this one guy and he just literally ranted about the Israel-Palestine conflict.
Oh, gosh.
The whole set. No jokes. Like, no jokes, no bits, no setup, no punchline, no tags. Just a rant about the Israel-Palestine conflict. And not even, like, an analysis of it. Just a really bad, spotty retelling of what's transpired currently. And, of course, he ran the light, too.
They always run the light. Yeah. All ranters run the light.
They just need everyone to know. I feel like this is the best forum for it, a comedy show.
It's like they have a strange neurological disease where like comedy, the concept of comedy is switched with with like what, you
insanity.
Know, insanity.
Yeah.
Like they watch Comedy Central for news and Fox for comedy. Like it's like, oh, sweet, look at Glenn Beck. Go at it right now. That's hilarious.
I'm going to do that.
That's a sweet, you know, let me write down that bit. And it just boggles me. Like, what are you doing? You saw five guys do it. All right, you know, good, you know, you saw five guys construct things for a month and then do the showcase.
Yeah.
And you're here talking about Israel and Palestine.
Yeah.
How do you not connect? Why? Where are the two nerve endings in your brain that form that, you know,
it's like a psychosis. It has to be, because like, I'm like, dude, do you not, like, are you not looking at everybody right now? And I have no problem with bad comics, right? Like, if you go up on stage and you bomb horrifically, and I have bombed many times, you, like, it's okay, you know? Like, you're trying. You're trying. Like, you want to do this. I respect that. You're going out. You're grinding. You're trying. But if you're going to stand there and just rant, okay, stay home, because you're fucking up the audience for the other comics. You know, you're fucking with the energy, and you're just wasting everybody's time. Mm-hmm. You know, like, if you don't have something worth saying, if you haven't worked on something, just fucking stay home, you know?
Or get a Reddit account.
That's what they need, a Reddit account. Yeah.
Have you heard of this website, sir?
Yeah.
You should go. Definitely do it. You know what's funny? It's always dude comics, too.
Always dude comics?
I've
never seen a ranty girl comic. That's
never,
true.
Never. Yeah. All female comics, like, as far as I've seen, actually do good shit.
Yeah.
I've never seen a female comic rant.
Yeah.
I've never seen a female
like, conspiracy theorist rant. Yeah.
Nope.
So, if you're listening out there, ladies, if you want to be a groundbreaker, rant about 9/11.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, man.
It's like, it's so funny being in, like, in the open mic, you know, circuit.
Because
like,
literally anyone can get up on stage and talk. Like, there's no barrier for entry.
There's no, like, you know, multiple choice tests you have to take. It's like, how do you feel about Barack? You know,
when's the last time you got a psychological evaluation? When's the last time you took your Klonopin?
Are you currently drunk?
Have you been drunk every day for the past month? Does it interfere with your lithium dose?
Did your friends tell you to do this? Are they laughing at you in the crowd right now?
Did your friends actively discourage you from doing this? And did you ignore? Did you ignore them?
Do you have a kid? Should you be there right now?
Hey, I'm happy. There's some comics I'm happy that neglect their kids and go out to do comedy.
Oh, hell yeah, because they're hilarious.
Yes, Eric DeSilva and John Vargas. I'm happy that on Tuesday they do the Bad Dads podcast instead of staying home with their kids, because it's quite entertaining and it's lots of fun. John, yeah, when I went to the Buddha, I went, Mike Citron books a show there every month, and I did that show, and Vargas was the headliner. And that was, you know, it's funny because the early show was packed. It was awesome. Like I caught the end of John's set and I'm like, yeah, this is great. And then the late show like tapered off a little bit. And like they weren't as receptive. So it's like, damn, it was such a cock tease. And John, for an hour, did like very little written material. Like he's so good with that. You know, he'll just talk.
Yeah.
He can just talk and talk to the crowd and not really have to worry.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. I don't think most people can do it like he does. You know, mm-hmm. he's like when I did that Casa Tonight thing with Danny, with Reskin, like he was like a panelist. It was so funny, dude. Like he does not need.
That's amazing. Yeah. Like what he does, I've seen him do it like at Speak.
Yeah.
Where he's just like comedy off the dome. Yeah. And then people just say objects and he's like, yeah, you take out the shit out of the empty purse and put some real substance just like you should be doing. And it's like comedy off the dome. And it's just like bam, 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 bam.
Yeah. He's a funny motherfucker.
That I wonder how you develop it or like flex that muscle, you know?
Yeah.
I've been meaning
a lot of crowd work, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. That's one of the things I'm trying to develop, because one of the people I really do like look at for aesthetics when it comes to comedy is Patrice O'Neill.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever heard like his recordings, like Mr. P and
no.
And the other, there's another one up on Spotify. But what he always starts off, like those two recordings start off with him just doing like a 20 on the crowd. Like he's just
Jesus.
Like, just, you know, like talking. He's like, oh, how you doing, sweetheart? What are you doing? And then he, you know, he just asks, makes little jokes until, bam, he hooks someone mm-hmm. and then just goes off with that person. And it's in a way where everyone's having fun.
Yeah.
The person continues to fuel him.
Yeah.
And he can just, you know, ride back and coast on that wave. Wow. And so like, when you know when you start doing comedy, you start appreciating it very differently than when yeah. than before, or like someone who doesn't do comedy.
Yeah,
and it's so amazing to see that happen, because the actual like technique and the systems in place that allow him to do that and yeah. what he's doing, it just blows my mind. Like he knows, like when you're doing that, you're trying to bait someone sometimes.
Yeah,
and he baits them, and it's just. You're always in the process of letting them talk and not letting them talk.
Yeah.
And it's so great how masterfully he handles that.
It's so hard to do it without losing momentum. You know,
yeah,
I find
exactly.
that after two crowd work bits, I need to go into a joke, and I have notes that I keep after every show. And I have in capital letters on multiple occasions, stop after two crowd work bits, like stop doing, you're killing the momentum. And to be able to do that for such a long time is crazy. Like I was at Vino's show, like there was a point where I should have stopped doing crowd work, but I didn't. So, and then it just kind of killed it a little bit.
Well, yeah, I guess you have to be aware of your own limitations.
Yeah,
sometimes
exactly.
you have to push them too.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah. it was just at a point I was just kind of being a little, cause it's still that newbie fear of silence
yeah.
where you're just like, oh, I got to fill it with something. But it was, that show was really good.
That's awesome.
Yeah, like I was pleasantly surprised, because then and the crowd was cool, people there were cool, the place is great. Like it's a great place to go on like a date night or something. It's like a wine bar, but they also have amazing craft beer and some good cheese, and like you can get like a cheese board or whatever, and they got
nice.
Caviar and stuff like
that's
that.
That's awesome.
And it was good, man. It was a good. I love having good crowds. And Silverman was there. We talked about how. He claims that the Lisa Correa episode was half talk about him. I feel like that's a little an exaggeration. Did we talk about him for 30 minutes? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
No, we talked about him for a while.
We talked about him for a while, but I think we were talking about him. Look, we're talking about him again. No, let's stop. Let's not give him this.
Don't give him more. No, but Josh was really good.
Yeah.
He had a new bit that was pretty fucking hilarious.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was great. I don't want to give it away, but like he says something like really... I want to say offensive, but like really like, whoa, that is fucked up. Where is he going to go to bring it back? And then he does. And it's great. And it was
that's
hilarious.
Awesome.
Yeah,
man. And, so, okay, cool. So Josh has a new bit. I'm glad. Whenever it comes to like things like crowd work, I kind of always try and look for it, or
yeah.
I'm trying to train myself to like, listen to what the crowd is saying more. Cause I
yeah.
find it's a lot easier when I can like, hear or into a conversation or
mm-hmm.
like someone always says like a sly remark sometimes, and if you catch it
yeah
like they think it's gonna slip, but if you catch it you're like, hey, what'd you say? And then you know
like you
that throws
my uncle,
them off
with
guard.
My dickhead uncle.
Yeah, like with your dickhead uncle.
Turns some heckling into one of the best moments in the night.
Why I was reading this thing about how like some dumb comedy pundits
yeah
this
comedy
is a,
pundits
yeah that's already a joke in itself.
Yeah.
But like people that like, you know, they write about comedy and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
These two guys teamed up to write an article together about how like heckling is great.
Oh, I heard about this. Yeah.
Yeah. Stupidest article I've ever read. Heckling is not great.
No.
No. You'll remember that set, like you as a comedian and
yeah.
as an audience member, you'll remember that set because depending on how the comedian handled themselves, you know, that'll make or break the set.
Yeah,
because I mean, I bet there's a bunch of hecklers that like got, you know, got someone real good, like
yeah.
bam, oh wait, you're not saying anything back, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And then others were just, they just tore them to shreds, and then like, all right, now back to the show.
Yeah,
but heckling does not make a show great, and I hate it when
yeah.
the heckler thinks they're helping you.
No,
that you know, that righteous you know, ambivalent heckler that's like,
yeah.
bro, I'm just helping you, bro. Bro, I'm just helping you.
Jesus.
You know, we're working together. No, we're not working together.
We're not a comedy team.
We're not doing that. We're not. You did not stay up last night and write this joke.
Yeah.
And you did not bomb the five times to make this joke work.
Yeah.
We're not working together.
I don't know if the general public, like I know when you talk to people, they say, oh, I could never do comedy. It's really hard. But I don't know if they understand the amount of time that goes into building a comedy set.
Yeah.
I think some people, I know I thought when I would see comics that I thought maybe they just worked on the weekends. I didn't know about working out material and stuff like mm-hmm. when I was younger.
Yeah.
So people don't get it. It's like, you're like, you, I only have so much stage time this week. Could you please shut the fuck up?
Yes.
You know, or like, yeah, just people or people that try to think that think it's a dialogue. Like I always see people try to like have a conversation with a comedian in the middle of yeah. the set. It's like, don't. No, like don't, this is not, we're not having a conversation.
No, stop. You're listening. I'm driving this bus. Don't yeah. come up to the driver's seat. I'm driving this
There's
bus.
There's a line to stand behind, damn it. Exactly. The red line.
If only, if people really knew how precious that time was, like, yeah. please, I had to beg for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, I came here late. I'm trying to get these 5 minutes through.
I drove here from Miami to Boca. Please, yes. God.
Please, just don't. I swear to God, I'll kill you with this stool right now if you do anything. Oh my gosh.
God, man.
But you gotta love it.
Dude, my main comedy struggle has been lately? What? Not drinking beer when I'm out.
Not drinking beer.
Oh my God. I just go to so many places with delicious crap. Like going to the Funky Buddha. You know how hard it is to go to the Funky Buddha?
It is delicious, yeah.
Oh my God, dude. The beer there is like ridiculous.
You know me, I don't really drink, but yeah. I could, like, a lot of like comedians and like some comedy podcasts actually have podcasts dedicated to that, like
yeah.
how, like, you know, the lifestyle lends itself to do that, like people like yeah. Greg Giraldo, you know, like, you gotta take care of yourself because Greg Giraldo, did he OD? I don't want to be insensitive, but I think
I don't remember what happened to him.
He passed away, and I think yeah. it was due to an OD because he had like a little bit of a pill problem and a drinking yeah, yeah. problem. And you're always around that stuff. I mm-hmm. like if you try and, like, at Gramps, I had a mint julep. When will I ever have a mint julep? I didn't really want it.
I think
was
that's
there.
A hilarious.
It was there.
When you say mint julep, it always reminds me of that scene from Thank You for Smoking with that old Southern tobacco farm owner. Have you ever seen Thank You for Smoking? That's a great movie. You should watch it. It's really funny. But it's the same guy who played Two-Face in the latest Batman movie. And
Harvey Dent. Dennis Leary.
Dennis, is that who it is? No.
Is that?
No, not? Dennis Leary, that was the old Two-Face, right? I'm saying like Batman.
Yeah.
The Dark Knight or whatever.
The guy that's on Rescue Me.
I don't remember who it is. Whatever, but it's well, the whatever. Same guy.
It's
yeah.
the same guy. I know who you're talking about. Chin guy.
Yeah, chin guy. Chin guy. I'm going to see... Two-Face, Batman, IMDb. I'm trying to think of the name of him. It matters. But yeah, it's a great movie, but I know this old... Aaron Eckhart, that's his name.
Aaron Eckhart?
Yeah, Aaron Eckhart, this guy.
I don't
guy.
Believe that.
Yeah. Yeah. He's in Olympus Has Fallen, Erase, The Rum Diary, Battle for Los Angeles. Wow, he's in a lot of crappy movies. But yeah, Aaron Eckhart, he was in Thank You for Smoking.
Why does he look so much like Dennis Leary?
He does not look anything like Dennis Leary.
Yes, he does.
No, he does not. Yeah, Thank You for Smoking. That was a great movie. You should see it if you haven't seen it yet. But why do I even bring him up?
Oh, because mint julep.
Oh, the mint julep, yeah. So why did you just get it?
I just got it.
You asked them, like, what is good?
No, I just like, hey, I've never had a mint julep. Julep is a fun word to say.
Someone
it is. Said mint julep at the end of Anchorman 2. I'm going to have a mint julep.
Mint julep sales have skyrocketed.
So I had one. And like, I would not, you know, I would not under any regular circumstance actively get that drink. But you yeah. know, I was, you know, there was comedy in the air. I was in a bar and, you know, I was waiting a little bit. And that kind of pushed me to get it, you know. So I'm also trying to, like, I don't like drinking before shows, and
I think I'm going to stop doing that forever.
Yeah, exactly. I had a very strict rule. I would only drink water. I wouldn't even eat before a show.
Yeah.
But I'd only drink water before a show. And then recently I've been finding myself like, oh, I'll just have one beer. Yeah, like, yeah. I'll just do that. And I don't like that habit.
No, like, it's not good. And it dulls your senses. Like, you're less sharp.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't help with stage confidence or whatever. I find, you know, you're less sharp, man. Mm-hmm. And I found that too. Like, I recently had a show where I drink like, not a lot, I drink like two beers before, but I'm like, I shouldn't have drank those two beers. I would have been better if I just didn't drink. And,
yeah.
and I saw one comic, I'm not going to say his name, but he said that like, he would get fucked up before every single, he's never done it sober. except for one time I saw him and he was like, oh, that's the first time I've ever done it, not stoned and not drunk. And I'm like, that was, you were way better. Like, you were way sharper than you ever are.
Yeah.
It's like, it doesn't enhance it. Like, I guess you can get like stoned or drunk for writing, but not for, I don't think like it's a good idea for promoting. You know? Like I know that Giannis does not drink. Giannis Papas does not drink before sets. Like, Irene told me, like, she would hang out with him. He would not drink. You know, he's, because, you know, he's serious.
Yeah.
And he's a pro. Like, afterwards, he'd have a drink, but.
He had a real good, what's it called? Comedy Central 30 Minutes.
Oh, my God. I haven't seen it yet. I feel so bad.
I saw it on demand. It's really good.
Oh, yeah. I need to see it. I mean, I actually, he practiced it at Gramps.
Yeah, he did. And, like, to see it, like, to see a guy I saw live on TV on a show that I actively watched, I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah.
This thing is real.
Like, I've done a show with that guy.
Yeah. That kind of speaks to the to the industry a lot.
Yeah, right. Especially in Miami, it's very flat here.
Yes, but yeah. So
he's great.
He's really good.
Like, seeing a seasoned New York comic, like, you can just tell. You know, like, you can tell the. It's like seeing a pickup truck that's used by the Forest Ranger Services. It's like, you can tell that that thing's been used. It's well worn in.
Man, ooh, I can't. So yeah, no drinking before like.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna quit that practice. What's funny, because I'm usually like all or nothing. Like, I either do something like obsessively, or just say fuck it. You know, it's like with the drinking. I'm doing it mostly for cat. Because the thing with me and beer is like, I don't even really know how much I enjoy the sensation of being drunk anymore. I just really like beer a lot. Like, as a culinary delicacy, I like beer like in the same way people like chocolate. Or cookies,
yeah,
or cake,
I totally get that.
Or brownies, or ice cream. Like, that's what beer is.
Like, I just want to taste it.
Yeah,
it's not for the effect either.
Yeah,
I recently got kind of like advanced tipsy recently.
Advanced tipsy,
and I fell asleep, and then my friends threw dicks on my face because, you know, friends are great.
Yeah,
but like, I remember, you know, I was kind of enjoying that state.
Yeah,
but then. Afterwards, with the dry mouth, the dehydration, I wasn't hungover. But it was just unpleasant afterwards. And then even during, unless I was being loud or playing, you know, apples to apples, I was not enjoying myself like in that state. So I've never been, like I've said before, I've never been like drunk, blackout drunk, and I don't intend to. And I hate like that whole, I hate it. I don't like it. But, like, I get what you
How
mean.
How old are you, Reggie? Jesus, you're, like, 50 years old.
I'm 21.
I know.
Let me be.
It's hard to believe sometimes. It was funny sitting in the car with you guys, because, you know, with George, who's 18, and you, who's 21. And for some reason, I don't know why, but when you're older, you want to impart wisdom, but you don't really have that much wisdom to go around. You know?
Yeah. No, I called you out on that. Are you feeling some type of way because you're old? You're the oldest person in this car?
A little bit, yeah. But I think it was funny when George was like, because George is like 18, and he was like, yeah, just like, I feel like my generation, what did he say? Like, they're all really stupid, or what
yeah,
is
I
it?
Think it was something to that effect.
Yeah, like, you know, like, I feel like my generation, like, they don't, and I'm like, no, we're all idiots. Like, don't even worry about it.
Yeah.
That's not you guys.
Everyone's an idiot.
Everyone has an idiotic generation, but no one's long enough to see that many generational transitions, so... So, you know, by the time you realize that, then you're old and you die.
Yeah.
Or you're bitter and you want to be like, back in my day, this didn't happen.
Sorry, I farted. I'm old, you know?
I think it's the skin's a little too flappy to get that good trumpet sound. I get proud of my fart sometimes when I get like a good resonance out of it, you know? Like, you're blowing a trumpet. Like, when I would play the trumpet, I would blow it. And when I would get a good sound, I'd be very happy.
Mm-hmm.
I feel the same way with farts. I think I farted so loud that I woke up Christine.
What the fuck was that? That was Hugo. I don't know. He's an asshole.
No, I would claim it. I'm proud of that.
Proud of that?
I'm proud of it. Yeah.
I don't think I've ever farted in front of Haley.
Really?
Yep. Nope, I haven't.
How long have you guys been together?
A couple of months.
It'll happen.
I mean, it'll happen, but I don't think I have yet. But, you know, I have very, like, if I go to the bathroom, I go to the bathroom. Like, I don't, like, that's my time.
Mm-hmm.
Don't come in there.
Yeah.
Don't bother me. I'm going to do what I need to do.
Yeah.
Because me and the bathroom, we have a very sacred relationship. Like, I've had moments where I've been in the bathroom so long.
Mm-hmm.
Partly because I either have my cell phone or my DS in there. So it extends the time I'm in the bathroom, like way, I stay there longer than when I'm
done, when I was
know?
Playing a lot of Candy Crush, that happened to me too.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh shit, you know, the crap in my crack dried up. Now I'm just going to be uncomfortable for the whole day, but holy crap, got to level 99 of Candy Crush.
I was going at Candy Crush for a while, like hardcore, but but I stopped, thankfully. Man, I'm so excited. I was so excited about... I went to Zach the Baker.
Zach the Baker?
Yeah. Why you say it like that?
Because his name is Zach, and he's a baker, and I'm supposed to say it like that.
You know, is this the first time you've heard of Zach the Baker?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
You've never heard of Zach the Baker?
No, I've never heard of Zach the Baker.
Oh, shut up. You have to have.
No, I haven't.
Jesus. Why am I so incredulous with that? I don't understand.
Well, who is Zach? I'm going to Google Zach the Baker right
Look,
now.
Zach the Baker is our local Miami artisan baker.
Really? Okay?
Zach the Baker is the only...
No wonder his name is... Of course his name's Zach. He's Miami's local artisan baker.
Look, he's the only guy in Miami that bakes sourdough bread. True sourdough, naturally leavened bread. Like, you know how I do it? With a starter?
His name is spelled with one K?
Yes.
No C?
No C.
Oh my gosh, Zach the Baker. Come on.
Don't fuck with it. I'm getting upset right now.
You are.
I'm getting upset. It's like shitting on your favorite anime or something.
You can do that. My favorite animes deserve to be shit on. Look, I've rendered all right to have any refined taste since I started liking anime.
Yeah.
Right? You are allowed to shit on it.
Well, I'm trying to think of it because I like what he's doing, you know?
Okay, what's he doing?
He's bringing artisan bread to the masses.
Say that sentence out. Yes. Okay, good.
He's bringing artisan bread to the masses.
To Miami, which, you know.
To Miami, dude.
The most artisan we get is Cuban bread.
It's great because he's doing naturally leavened sourdough bread. Like the great bread that we have at this house, he's doing it so people can purchase it and don't have to bake it in their house. And I think that's pretty awesome.
That is pretty awesome.
And it's all kosher, too, in Midtown.
In Midtown?
Across from the light box.
Oh, snap. That's where your aunt works.
Yeah, exactly. And it was... We went there for my birthday, and it was really good. For my birthday, what I wanted to do was my plan was to go to every coffee roaster in Miami, which was not hard because there's three. So I went to Panther, I went to Eternity Roasters, and then I went to Alaska. And Panther, like, they were all great, except for I only got to go to two because Alaska was shooting a telenovela scene.
Oh.
And it was closed.
Oh.
But that's like farther north. But there's, you ever heard of Eternity Coffee Roasters?
Eternity?
Eternity. Yeah.
No, I haven't.
They're downtown. They're really good. They're kind of close to Elwood's. And they have, when I walk into a shop and I see a La Marzocho, like that machine,
yeah.
I get excited because I know it's going to be good coffee. Mm-hmm. And it is because the Panther espresso machine there costs, it's like a $15,000 machine. Yeah.
And
it for a cup of coffee is pretty crazy, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's amazing. Like, Panther's great. That Eternity was great, too. I think Panther might have the better pour over. But I have opinions on these things, as you can see.
Whenever you make a recommendation, I actively go there.
Yeah?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
I actively go there. I explore it. I go by myself. I go with somebody. But I go there. I'm like, Mike's right. You've been right every time, by the way.
I don't give recommendations lately.
You don't?
No, I do not. I want to stand behind it 100%. You know where you should go? That I went after I had a very locally crafted day the other day. Because on Saturday night, I got drunk off of Funky Buddha beer. All right. Which is brewed locally. Mm-hmm. And a little bit of Wynwood Brewery, which is also brewed locally.
I like that place a lot.
I woke up with a hangover because I drank all that. Then I went to the Threefold Cafe in Coral Gables,
which is awesome.
All right. I'm going to write this. I need to make a Tumblr or something where I write down the list of all these delicious things.
You should.
Threefold. Let me write this down. Funky Buddha, Panther, Eternity. All right. So I went to then I went to Threefold and I had some locally roasted Panther coffee to deal with my hangover and ate off of Zach the Baker bread with this amazing French toast that was stuffed with goat cheese and prosciutto.
What?
Yeah, it was really good.
Was this at Threefold?
Yeah, Threefold, and it's all Zach the Baker bread, and like it just when you have like that naturally leavened sourdough when you have true sourdough bread, like not some bullshit sourdough flavor, like the one where you actually have a starter that you feed, that you let it rise, you know, with a wild yeast. It's just like, you can't, there's nothing fucking like it, you know? You can't fuck with it.
Damn.
And it seems, I thought it was stupid. Like, I had the same reaction, like artisan bakery, like, or like, oh, local produce, this is some yuppie bullshit, or like, single origin coffee beans. Like, that's so lame. Oh, it's for hipsters, until I tried it. And then I'm like, oh shit, this is like way better than everything. Yeah.
When you're like, oh my God, that's stupid. This is great.
That's my past plebeian, because that's my unrefined, uncivilized voice. Yeah. And then now I'm civilized. I eat the local shit.
My problem is his name is Zach.
Why?
Come on, dude.
His name's Zachary.
The only person that should be named Zach is Zac Efron. That's it.
That's the worst reason.
No, that's not the only worst reason.
That is the worst reason.
What adult male wants to be called Zach?
What adult male doesn't want someone to be called Zach because Zac Efron holds the title to that? Are you a 13-year-old girl? You're like, only Zac Efron can be called Zac.
My thing is that, like, Zach is, should only be, if you're from the ages of 15 down, that's when you can only have the name Zach. Once you turn to 16, you are supposed to legally change your name to something better.
Don't fuck with Zach the Baker. I like what there's a culinary revolution going on in Miami.
Okay, cool. I hope
there you know is. What? There's Zach like a the tiny Baker. Dude, there's a tiny culinary revolution going on in Miami.
I don't doubt you at all.
Yeah, it's true. You got a baker that bakes sourdough bread, all right? You've got a local coffee roaster. You've got three, right? Panther being the biggest one, the most ubiquitous one. You know, and you got these like restaurants that try as hard as they can to get local produce.
Okay.
Which is great.
That is great.
Because like, it's a difference, man. It's a huge difference when you get that local produce.
All these places out. Hopefully I can check them out before next podcast, or I'll check out as much of them before next podcast, and I'll let you and the listeners know what I think.
Take your girl to brunch at Threefold.
At Threefold?
I had a macchiato there. And they have that Strada, this specific La Marzocchio coffee maker. It's called Estrada. This is the $15,000 one. It's the same one they have at Panther.
Estrada. That's a badass name.
Dude, that thing looks, it's like a, they're like the Ferrari of coffee makers.
Is it a big one that has a dome and an eagle on top?
No, that's the Estrado.
Yo, that's really extra. The one with the dome and the eagle on top.
Yeah.
Like, this is the best cup of coffee. It'll be like an eagle coming out. Let me show.
It's a really cool looking espresso maker. Like, see? It's dope, right?
Check that out. That is dope.
Isn't that a dope look? That's like the Ferrari of espresso makers. La Marzocchio, you know, they're like the Ferrari
of espresso makers.
Of espresso like, machines.
That's what she said the last four times.
No, I'm saying that the company is like Ferrari.
Oh, okay.
Not the coffee, not just this machine specifically. That they're like Ferrari because they are from Italy. They hand build every machine. And they're super expensive, but, you know, the best you can get. Mm. You don't seem impressed.
No, I am impressed. I'm just, look, I totally get what you're saying, where you're coming from, uh-huh. But I'm not so fully engulfed in that world like you are.
Yeah.
So I can only appreciate it so much. Mm-hmm. I am open-minded. I want to experience this. I want to go to it.
Let's experiment together, Reggie.
Exactly. Let's do
experiment
that.
Over some espresso.
I'd really like that, Mike. So yeah, I'd really like. I'm gonna do it, and I'm gonna get. You know, that's one of the things I really want to do. I want to be more exposed, more worldly. You know, like learn like weird niche. You know, shit.
Yeah, I have a very obsessive personality, and that has a lot to do with it. Because like, I have a very hard time doing something like halfway. You know, because I got into the whole coffee thing. Because I did not drink coffee last November, like November. 19th, I didn't drink it. Yeah, like November 19th, I didn't drink coffee. Then after that, I became obsessed. And it's the same thing with beer, you know? Like, my beer, like, I used to drink whatever. Then I started getting into craft beer, and I'm still, like, super into it to this day. And with coffee, it's like, I was like, oh, I'm going to get a French press and try to do it like they do at a Blue Bottle. And now I'm, like, roasting my own beans and, like, looking out for specific machines at restaurants, you know? And, like, salivating over it. But it's like, I feel like life is so much better when you have these good things in it.
No, yeah, most definitely. That, like, life can and is so much better when you have, like, you know, one, like, these little things. Like, there's so many components to life. If you have the best of that component, wouldn't that be great? Like, if you're really into hamburgers and, like, you first started off with McDonald's, then you switched over to somewhere like, you know, I don't know, like the Federal or, you know, something.
Yeah, yeah. I was at the Federal recently. Have you been there?
No, I haven't.
That's a great restaurant.
Yeah, that's what I keep on hearing.
Yeah, it was really, really good. The biscuit there was amazing. Oof. Like, ooh. I highly recommend the Federal. Hey. You know how I found out about it?
How?
TVfoodmaps.com.
I found out about it because of Burger Beast, that blog about the guy that, like, kind of is in the food, food truck scene. Yeah.
What did he have there that he liked?
Oh, he's all about burgers. So he only
the Lamburger?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, they were out when I went.
Oh, man.
And what's cool though about a lot of this, because I think, like, food is one of those things that is such an enhancement to your life.
Oh, most, you know? Definitely.
And most, a lot, so many cultures appreciate that, like the Italians, the Spanish, you know, like the French, like how much emphasis in an Italian family is there on food, you know? With waspy people, not so much. And they all look miserable, even though they have a bunch of money. So that emphasis on food is great, you know? And it's like, when I wake up in the morning and have some coffee beans that I roasted, and they taste wonderful, then it's a great feeling. And what the best thing about it is like, you don't need to spend a shitload of money. Like, an espresso from this, like, amazing Strada $15,000 espresso machine. If you go to Threefold Cafe, an espresso is $2.50. So that's like the same as going to Starbucks, except you're getting one of the most amazing beverages ever.
Yeah.
You know?
That's the... See, you with the coffee beans, it goes... I think, like, human beings, people, we want to interact with our environment. You know, we want to be able to touch and mold the world around us, and we want to be able to affect and be affected by, you know, the things that we do and the things that we like or the things that we consume.
Yeah.
That's why I think it's so fulfilling and so delicious to have your coffee.
Yeah.
You know, I see you actively interact with this substance and, you know, bend it and mold it to your exact specifications. And then I see that. And then I enjoy it because I see the whole process. And then I drink something that's just inherently very good.
Yeah.
And then you enjoy it because you're using your hands, you know, you're using your hands and you're touching these things and you're molding it, and then bam, you drink it. So you're being fulfilled, like, in all ways: smell, touch, sight, you know, taste, you know, you mentally and actively in that process.
I feel like I'm watching a food documentary right now.
So that's why, like, I think as people, we're just so far removed from that whole process.
I think that's whole food trend about, like, farm to table.
Yes, and exactly.
Like, you know, all that stuff is like, because we're so far removed from it that it's like, whoa, like, I want to actually be present for the process. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want it to be this product that's created in a faraway land. Like, if you go to Zach the Baker, you can watch literally every single step of the bread making process from beginning to end and hang out there.
Exactly.
And I defend Zach also because Zach is a really, really nice guy. And I went there on my birthday, and this is why I was saying originally I'm excited, because he gave me and Christine some really good bread folding tips. And the way we folded it this time, it had a lot of oven spring, so it maintained a really good shape. So the loaves came out really, really good.
That's nice.
And I gave away one to Jackie Barron and to John Vargas. And they're both, like, Jackie's posting pictures on Facebook of her. Like, she brings it with her everywhere. Like, she brings it to work and everything. And she's like, and Irene too. Like, I would get her loaves and she would consume them pretty fast because it's delicious. Because
she loves bread.
but he sat there in the middle of the day just to take time to talk to us about, and he invited us. He's like, come by at 11 a.m. That's when we shape the bread and watch us shape it, and we'll show you how to do it.
Nice.
He's like a super nice guy. She emailed him actually once at like 2 a.m. asking him what flour would be best to use. And he emailed her back like 15 minutes later. He's like, I use King Arthur. Yeah.
See, that's the whole thing I'm talking about. Like, by the way, I'm just being facetious about the Zach the Baker thing.
Yeah, I know.
But, so that's the whole thing I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That whole process. Look, I may not be able to farm, but if I actually do get something locally, I am aware of the process and of the people doing it. You know, someone's going to hand me a damn canvas bag full of things, you know, full of vegetables, heirloom vegetables and tomatoes and whatnot. And I'm going to be, sweet, this is awesome. I got to wash the dirt out of this, but thank you very much. I carry that home, go in my car, and, you know, I'm chopping up these things that were made by other people, you know? And it's not just some grand mechanical process in the background that I'm very unaware of, that cookie cutter, you know, food and, like, beverage, like, you know, just this big iron
preservatives monster. And emulsifiers and all that stuff that needs to keep it, you know?
Which is a whole different conversation on its own, but what I'm trying to say is the culture is what I'm trying to address.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's why, you know, one, that's why I appreciate whenever you show me or tell me or share with me your food and your process and, you know, the restaurants you go to, because I want to, you know, I want to experience that, and I do want to better my, you know, my palate, myself, and this food is just a grand, it's a big thing, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's
more than just sustenance.
Yeah, it's more than just sustenance. Like, you know, from things like the Bible, from, like, you know, manna, you know, that stuff, or, like, breaking bread, that whole thing. Or, like, Jesus, like, hey, drink, you know, drink my blood, bud. And here, have my bread. It's apparently
drink
my
blood,
skin.
Bud, have my bread, bro.
So
I'm Jesus.
So, you know, you know, food is, and that's the thing that keeps us alive. And nowadays could, you know, more than likely kill you because you're abusing it or because you're having the shitty version of it.
Yeah, yeah.
So with what's happening in Miami and what you're present in and, like, the culture you're in,
yeah,
you know, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah. Zach did an interview. You can find it on Vimeo. I don't know if it was Fusion that did it. Somebody did it. And he talks about what's so great about the bread making process is, he's like, you feel like you're connected to this ancient process that's been going on for thousands of years, and they've been doing it almost exactly the same way. Because my process, the way we do it, like, if you don't need an oven, like, you don't need electricity to do it. All you need is a heat source, like a closed off heat source, and flour and water and salt. You know, like you're doing it kind of like the Romans were doing it. The difference is, like, I have an electric oven, whatever. You know, and like, there, you see the ingredients. There are literally three ingredients in the bread. It's no, like, you look at the ingredient list on Wonder Bread, how much stuff is, you know, it's like so much stuff. But with this, it's just three things, and it's awesome.
And it's delicious, you know, it is awesome. And you know, that's what, I think that's what a lot of, like, that's what we're going, like, towards, or at least I feel like the people I'm involved with, or, like, the people I know, or, you know, just the world I'm in, you know, I feel like that's, like, where things are leaning, you know, because, one, we got people listening to this and listening to us talk about bread, and you always constantly talking about bread.
Yeah.
I actually, like, one of my coworker, my boss, the one that listened to this, he's like, you're always talking about that bread. How good is it? And we had to talk about bread.
Yeah.
You know? And he's like, oh, wow, that does seem pretty interesting. And like I said before, I just want to echo this. Like, you know, a person wants to, you know, mold and create and, like, you know, bend the world around them in some small way. So, you know, the bread process, just like Zach DeBaker said in that interview, it is... Wait, that's an old, an old ass way to make food, yo.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
it's an old ass way to make food, yo. Richard Deschardin.
Yep.
Yeah, man. It's a rewarding process to have some food that you, like, made, or, like, with the coffee beans. I'm like, I made this shit.
Exactly.
You know, it's like, it's super rewarding. A lot more rewarding than going to the grocery store, and it's cheaper than purchasing it. Like my home roasted coffee doesn't taste that much worse than a $20 bag of coffee, and it costs like $7 to $8. And that's, like, for that price, you get shitty grocery store coffee. Like, not even high, mid-grade grocery store coffee is the same price. It's cheaper than that. And it's never more than 5 days old after being roasted.
Yeah.
And that's why I like Panther Coffee, that they have that, that they brought that to us, you know, that you can actually get, because you can't get a cup of coffee like a Panther cup of coffee anywhere else. It's delicious.
Exactly.
Even though they sell it all around the country. And everyone always asks me, like, you should do it. Like, you should sell the bread. And I'm like, I don't know. I feel like
go ahead.
It's too much of a sacrifice, I feel like, in terms of, cause like, I'm very obsessive. And if I put out a product, I want it to be like the highest quality possible. And in order to ensure that, I feel like there's too much of my social life I have to give up. Because if I'm making bread on Saturday and I have somewhere to go on Saturday night, because the rising time is a very long process, and I have to do that, I feel like I would feel bad if I was selling someone a product that I rushed or didn't put out amazing every time, you know?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Also, like, come on, really?
What?
Like, sell it?
Yeah.
Yeah, like...
I'm not trying to be a bread maker. Would never want to work in the food industry. That's like the hardest industry ever. Mm-hmm. There's very few sectors of the economy that are as difficult to work in as a food service, you know? Have you ever worked at a restaurant? Oh, yeah, for one day, right?
For one
Pinchos?
Day.
Yeah.
That's it. I was like, nope, I respect y'all. Bye.
But I'm out of here. Respect y'all too much. That's why.
Coal mining, probably.
Coal mining?
Yeah,
coal probably coal mining. Yeah,
probably coal mining.
I think, let's say, the most difficult above ground, the most difficult non-dangerous job. Like, not, you know, because food service is not as dangerous as crab fishing or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, yeah. So the most difficult non-potentially fatal job.
On concrete.
Yeah. Most potential job on concrete. Well, that's potentially fatal. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah.
The LA move looms nearer.
Yeah.
I don't know when I'm going to do it.
You put a map above.
Yeah, I did. Cause I wanted a motivating picture if I ever felt like procrastinating. So I look at that and I remind myself of how much I like LA and how much I want to be there.
That's very good. That shows a lot of discipline.
I would usually shit on people that would do stuff like this. However, I feel like I it's helping me, so
yeah. I like what I need and what I need when it comes to like comedy is discipline. Like,
yeah,
I mean, it's just one. I know this move is gonna be great because you know you have the obsessive personality, you got the talent, you got the discipline and the drive. So that's just it's only gonna be good for you, and also. You got the system, you know, you got the support system behind you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's just going to be good. And you got to do it.
Yeah.
Like you don't stay here too long.
Yeah.
You don't want to stay here too long.
Yeah. I worry about being too green to go out there, but on the other hand, just fuck it.
No, it's best to go when you're green.
Yeah, I guess.
Because look, you've developed the aesthetics enough here. Go over there and don't be too Miami.
I'm still pretty green, but yeah. But you know, like I it's not like I'm starting. I think it would be a mistake to start cold in LA.
Mm-hmm.
Just start doing stand up there. But now I've had enough sets in front of large crowds in different situations that because I remember when I was in Vancouver once year I was like 19. I was talking to this comedian. We were both at the bar, this bar, and she was just some random woman that I was talking to. And she lived in LA and she's like, she's from Canada. And she said that she was happy that she got started in, I think it was Toronto or Ottawa or something, because she could do comedy to a packed house when she started out. Whereas in LA, you don't know, like it could be just like six people.
Yeah.
Like the two of the mics I hit up when I was in LA were very abysmal. Like one had four people that were all comics. And then one had like, you know, five people that were all comics. It was pretty bad. So I'm glad that I didn't have to develop in that environment. That could be, I would imagine, incredibly discouraging.
Of course. No, I think one of the benefits of the Miami scene is that, one, it's like, there's a lot of freedom. Like, you could reinvent yourself a lot here.
Yeah.
You could reinvent and you can play with aesthetics and you can play with like personas and you can play with like different voices a lot here. Mm-hmm. And just since it's a very tight, like it's a very tight scene.
Yeah.
You just have this, you have this really unique culture that like lends itself to growth.
Yeah.
You see people grow here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm definitely not the same I was a year ago than I am now.
Yeah.
Like, and you know, when I first saw you, you were good. Now you're great. You're much better. And it's just a real good scene to be in. And like, I get what that comic you're talking to in Toronto said. Like,
yeah.
Toronto's like, what? Yuck Yucks is up there, right? Like,
I'm not sure.
Yuck Yucks is a club in Toronto. And then they have a comedy festival up there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's somewhat of a, like a comedy town, like Bloomberg, Indiana is one.
Oh, really?
Because they have the Bloomberg Tower Theater, mm-hmm. I think. And they also have the comedy, they have a comedy festival there.
Yeah.
Festival there. So, you know, it has comedy. And what these three places have in common is that you are not in a big place, but a big enough place.
Yeah.
And that's very valuable.
Yeah, I think it is valuable to be in a big enough place, mm-hmm. especially since you have so much contact with comics that are way better than you.
Mm-hmm,
like,
exactly.
And they can give you advice. Like, I've gotten some great advice from comics that are way better than me. Like, Dave Williamson, for example, has helped me out a lot. Like, he always gives great advice to me. And like you know, I'm trying to get together a good audition tape for festivals. And I showed it to him and he gave me some notes on it. And like the fact that I have access to a guy that's that much better and that much more experienced than me to give me notes is great. And that's because it's such a tight scene, you know, but it's big enough that there are comics that are good. You're not just sitting somewhere where there's a, what was I going to say? You're not just somewhere it's just a bunch of schmucks trying out, but you're not in a place that's so big that all the great comics are doing shows and you'll never intersect paths.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
And that's really important too. So, mm-hmm. So you want to wrap it up?
Yeah, let's wrap it up. Good podcast.
Yeah, that was. I felt a connection with you today, yeah, Richie.
I did.
On my 25th, I think I found somebody. On my 24th birthday.
I'm going to write back home to mom about this. Tell her, like, I think I'm going to be fine.
All right, guys. So you can find me on Twitter, Mike Marianoff. Facebook, Mike Marianoff Comedy. I got a show on the 30th in Coral Springs at Tavolino's. And then on Tuesday, let me just specify those dates because this is next week. I'll be at Shirley's, which is inside Gramps, on the 29th, Tuesday the 29th. And then July the 30th, I'll be at Tavolino's for the Wise Guys Comedy Show. I'm really looking forward to that. And Reggie, where can the people find you?
People can find me on Twitter, @Ratchet_Reggie. And you can find me on Instagram @BlackDadaist. And Mike shows for me, regular spots. I might have some work, so I can't really probably hit those up, but I'll probably...
Works for those who are not dedicated.
Yeah, it's true, it is.
Got to quit your job and live off Social Security.
Ooh, there's a plan. All right, guys. As always...
Till next time.
There you go.